Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Science of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008, and we'd love to hear from you if you want to join in the conversation. The conversation tonight is going to be about reincarnation, whether we like it or not. And I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm joined by our illustrious panel, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And welcome, everyone.
Hi, Bob.
Hello there.
And before we get going, Fran is chomping at the bit to let us know what's going on.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, as usual, a quick reminder to everybody, please, please, please go to Forever Family Foundation website and use the Amazon link when you're going to shop on Amazon. And if you don't find what you want on Amazon, please, please, please sign up with iGive.com, name Forever Family Foundation, as the charity of your choice, and you will shop in the most familiar 1,400 online stores that you're already shopping in, and then automatically a portion of what you spend comes back to support our work. And since I don't have to tell you over and over again that because of our work, we do not qualify for the usual grants that other 501c3s get. So any way we can raise extra funds, we need to do that, and we need for our listeners to hopefully have the time when they shop to take part of that. So again, iGive.com and the Amazon link on the Forever Family Foundation website before you go to Amazon. And a reminder that our Holiday of the Earth raffle winners were pulled on Earth Day, April 22nd. Their names, only first names, because we need to protect the integrity of the readings that they're going to have with their mediums.
Yes.
Have been posted on our Facebook page. So if you go there to check, don't forget to like us. Because when you like us, that increases our exposure on Facebook. And we can reach out to more people like you who are interested in listening to Signs of Life Radio, becoming members of Forever Family Foundation, and helping to reach out to those like-minded people that need this community around them. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th through 27th, and we're back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We've added on a day just ahead of that for parents who have lost children. The details for everything are up on the website, and it is a very, very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a very special journey. So if you want to be a part of this, make your arrangements early. A third of the rooms are already taken. So we can, if you want to save some money and you don't want to have your own room or you don't need to have your own room, we can match you up with a person of like gender in either a double or a triple. But you do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience.
You could pay extra and room with Tom.
That is taken. I paid a bundle to be with Tom.
I know she's
paying every day.
Okay. And after that little chuckle, many of our listeners already know that March had marked our 10th year as a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, serving the world in our mission to prove that life continues even after the physical body dies. In celebration of this event, we're revisiting our very first event from 2004 with a 10-year update on the current research that supports the existence of an afterlife. Please join us on July 29th at Long Island University, where Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti will present The Afterlife, A Scientist's View, and that will be followed by a demonstration of spirit communication for those in attendance by Forever Family Foundation certified medium, Laura Lynn Jackson. And lastly, please save the week of November 6th through 11th for our annual Afterlife Conference and Convention. This one will be a big one, and you don't want to miss out on this pomp and circumstance. And lastly, if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. I'm done.
Okay. And we're going to talk about reincarnation and everything that goes along with it, and you know, souls and soul contracts and soul groups. And I always find it curious, and I'm sure you do as well, is that even among people who believe in the afterlife, they believe in life after death, a lot of people are divided when you mention reincarnation. You know, it's one of those topics that so many people have so many different opinions on. And, you know, we don't have to explain what reincarnation is. You know, I think most people realize that in broad terms, it's when our soul or our consciousness, after it evolved to the spirit world, decides to come back and reincarnate in the physical body. So I guess the good question to start is, why does everybody say that we can only evolve by these physical incarnations? I mean, can't we evolve in the spirit realm? I mean, why is the physical so important?
From the research and the reading that is out there, that's dependable. Not, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not dependable. I think we were talking about that before the show. But you do grow while you're on the other side. But because it is a place of love and compassion, that you don't have the negativity and the challenges that you have in the physical world. So in order to experience some of the things in the nature in which you need to experience them, the only way to do it is to incarnate into the physical world. Now, there may be other physical worlds to incarnate into. We just are blinded by the fact that we're all stuck here right now and trying to figure out this big mess. But that doesn't mean that you can't grow while you're on the other side.
In fact, what we've heard about angels are spirit that has never been human, and they're higher than most spirit in the hierarchy of things. So it's possible, not only possible, it probably is
Probable.
You know, that wasn't the word that was in my mind. It's got to be a better word than that. If you have an hour, I'll come up.
We all got it telepathically. Yeah. So we didn't need a word.
I think, too, Bob, I believe that the more we think about our loved ones on the other side and reflect on our love for them and their lives, that helps them advance on the other side.
Well, I've heard it said, similar to what Fran said, is that, yes, that you can learn, and the people say that there are these learning schools, so to speak, you know, in the spirit realm, but you can learn faster here. You know, I mean, that's what some people say.
And I think the word learn, again, it's just a misnomer.
Yeah.
The concept of being on the other side, and like Melissa said, prayer helps people grow on the other side. There's a lot of opportunity on the other side to grow without an incarnation here.
Do you think that we hear the term soul contract a lot? I mean, do you think that's the way it works? You know, that our higher self or our soul enters into a contract to return, you know, and if we do, like, who do we enter into the contract with, ourselves or?
I like that idea of the contract before you are born. There's a better word for that too, incarnate. But I think that's an optional clause to the contract, that whatever it was in your blueprint to do here, if you, for whatever reason, there are all that free will, those paths you can choose. And if they just don't lead you to the ultimate goal of the contract, maybe then you have the choice to return or to progress on the other side. That's some of the thoughts I've had with the readings of this subject.
Do you have you been in situations, I know I have, either with friends or with family, where you get that feeling that you've been together before, you know. I mean, do you think it's possible that we do come into this world in groups, you know, and we stay in these groups in life after life after life? So maybe and we switch roles. So Melissa, you could have been my father. I could have been your daughter. I mean, you know, and
well, so, you're reminding me of something I shared with someone recently about my daughter. And today's her birthday, so I'll do a happy birthday shout-out to Maren. But she had, when she became engaged to her husband, and she met his family for the first time, and I had not met them yet, but I sensed a protectiveness of them from her. And she said, you know, I just feel like I've known them before. But the protectiveness was a parental protectiveness. It was almost like that, you know, Mama Lion. Like, I hadn't met the folks. They're delightful. When I did meet them, I liked them a lot. But I had not met them. But it was almost like, don't even think about drawing any negative judgments about them. She was extremely protective of them. Mm-hmm. And then later, you know, as our relationship grew and all that, I still felt it. But she said, I feel like I've known them before. And she didn't identify herself as the parent, but I did from the way she said it.
Tom, do you think that that assuming that we choose to reincarnate and maybe we reincarnate 6 or 7 times or an infinite number of times, I mean, do you think that it stops at a certain point when you've, I don't know what the proper term is, if the proper karma, or that you've accumulated the knowledge and the wisdom and the compassion that you need?
Well, I think that, yeah, that your question is loaded with a couple of different answers if you want to, which way you want to go. But let's go with the one where you have evolved to where you don't need the physical to get to the next step once you're in spirit and now you're looking ahead.
Right.
That, I think then it becomes more of a conscious choice. I mean, part of the idea for this show was to talk about the people who maybe don't have a choice and have to come back because they're not ready for the other side. You know, they haven't grown spiritually enough to be trusted, if you will, with the power of the other side. You know, I've often, and I maintain that this life, this physical life, is in a lot of ways a vacation from the spirit. And or just an example I use for my geek friends out there is, you know, on Star Trek, they had, when they were in deep space, they had a room that was called the holodeck, where they could go in and then select a time, an era, whenever, and then they'd put in a card, and all of a sudden the room would come alive if they were like in the 1890s in a saloon or something, and everybody'd be cowboys in that, and that would help the boredom of deep space. I mean, we're talking now about our souls being eternal, so we've got a lot of time to fill, even though time is irrelevant. But you know, there is no end to this, our energy. So we're going to be looking for ways to amuse ourselves. And I happen to think that, or like to think, that our time on the physical is like an amusement park. You know, we're here for the sensual pleasures, the taste and the feel and all of that sort of thing. And so I think that even if you were evolved as beyond that, that you might want to, hey, you know what, let's go back again. I often talk with Melissa about, you know, obviously feeling that we're connected. But the fact is that I was born in Kentucky, she was born in New York, and yet somehow we managed to find ourselves in the physical world. And I feel that perhaps on the other side, you know, we said, okay, let's, you know, you want to play the game. And the game is, I'm going to pick I'm going to pick a body that's coming out in Kentucky. You pick a body that's coming out in New York, and let's see if we can find each other. And,
like
and
6 degrees of separation.
Something like that. It's just, you know, it's a game. Well, can we find each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting concept. Of course, you could argue then, you know, you're coming down to the physical, you know, for this physical rush, so to speak. But what about the person that comes back and leads this horrible life of devastation and poverty, and you know, I mean, is that still in that category of a change of pace? Or
well, certainly. I mean, and what from what I've read from the Seth books and things like that are that I mean, you don't even have to come back as a human. You can come back as a tree and just sit in the forest for 100 years and enjoy the forest. And you know, and when you that example, which now gets us to the other side, that maybe you're not developed enough and you are sent back here to work on growth and see and how, you know, maybe this time around you'll get it right kind of thing. And what we had mentioned when we were talking about this, using this topic, was that, and I'm drawing from the book
Testimony
of Light, which we have talked about a lot, but there, in that book there was a spirit who had come over, and I guess he was a Nazi officer or something who, you know, had done terrible atrocities, and he didn't get to go with everybody else. He was put right into his dark room where he was dealt with, and, you know, not in a punitive way, but just trying to say, okay, your soul needs serious help here, and we're going to isolate you. And the woman who was dictating the book from the other side was assigned to try to help this soul. And it dawns on me that maybe, okay, you know, he's not ready for this side. We're trying to help him out. He's still not getting it. Boom, you're back on Earth, and, you know, try to get it right this time, kind of thing. And so that, which explains why there are so many people on Earth who are so far removed from any kind of spirituality, or, you know, completely missing the message or the big picture.
Yeah, you know, and I agree. A lot of people are not prepared for the spirit realm. But I also think, you know, as we're talking, that maybe people are not prepared, or they make the wrong decision when they come back for this physical, another physical go around. You know, maybe they didn't think out the whole thing properly, and they're not coming back for the right reasons, you know,
yeah.
And maybe that's why we see this disparity going on. So we're going to, you want to take a break?
Well, we need to break.
Okay.
Yeah, we should start with the first one.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go to a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a lot more about our topic of reincarnation and souls and wisdom. So take care, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're having a discussion about reincarnation. This subject is open to many different interpretations. We're giving our own opinion. We have had many shows where we talk more on a science perspective. Jim Tucker, the University of Virginia, who happens to be on the Forever Family Foundation's board, that scientific advisory board, has certainly continued some wonderful research by Ian Stevenson, and that evidence is of children who have past life memories is so compelling, you know. And then we've had Michael Newton on the show, who's talked about, you know, life between lives, and he's sort of an authority. But the only hard scientific research, you know, I think that's been done on reincarnation comes from, you know, Stevenson and now Tucker, and I don't know anybody else that's really doing it. But we're this is not stuff that really can be verified by anybody in the terms that we're talking about. But then again, you know, a lot of it comes from channel literature and things that you cited, like the Testimony of Light and the Seth Speaks and so forth. So,
Bob, can I ask you, so when we speak about reincarnation, then should we also be speaking about past life regression, because that is revealing the lives we've led before?
Yeah, you know, and past life regression takes place, as many of our listeners know, in a hypnotic state, you know, which leaves it suspect to a lot of people, because you're in a suggestive state, and you're reliving these past lives. Some of them were significant, some of them weren't. People go back, you know, sometimes like thousands of years, and a lot of that, the problem is that you really, most of that stuff, there's no evidence that could be investigated or followed up on, you know. So I know that many people talk about those life between lives and the past life regression. I don't know. Have any friends or acquaintances that have undergone past life regression? I know it's a common practice.
I think some of our members have, maybe through Brian Weiss or through some of his lectures or private sessions. But I was wondering, I personally don't recall any, but I do know that during some readings with myself or for family with psychic mediums, they suddenly start to talk about the life you led before. And again, it's not evidential. What I'm thinking that might be, if mediums claim that that was one of their skills, I was in looking at material online and in the encyclopedia for this talk tonight, I was reading a guided meditation step by step that one could do for themselves to take themselves back and maybe recognize a past life. It started out in sort of the traditional way of a guided meditation. And I can read this later if we have time. But I'm wondering if one did that privately on their own and saw what images or memories or past lives they led, then met with someone, Brian Weiss or somebody who claimed to be good at revealing your past life, that might be interesting to see if what they tell you, a stranger tells you about something you already saw. Maybe that would be a little bit more evidential, perhaps.
But Brian Weiss can't tell you anything other than what you can get out of your own past life regression.
You're right. I'm thinking of the medium.
You're thinking of a medium to tap in, but then you're asking a medium to do specific work. Now, a medium is getting their information from the dead.
So, well, that's when I added the word psychic, because they may have the title of psychic medium, but they're not. This information is not mediumistic.
See, I go with Bob on this. This past life regression stuff is highly suggestive, because we've all gone through, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. We've all studied all kinds of history. So we already have that in our mind from the books that we've read and the movies that we've seen. It's all there. So when somebody suggests that you go back in time and see who you were, that suggestion is already there. So you can materialize anything in your mind and make it happen. So, yeah, I'm jury's out with me on past life regression, but I don't doubt that we've all had previous lives, whether we could tap into them. I think that why? What's the point?
So having said that we had a previous life means reincarnation.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need a past life regressionist to take your money.
A lot of people are interested in what they were before.
Yeah, but it's not dependable, you know. That's like going to an underdeveloped medium. Well, I'll go and maybe they'll connect and maybe they'll give me information that's good and maybe they'll give me information that's not good. But I'm not going to know if it's good or if it's not good.
Well, I guess from a therapy perspective, it's a useful tool, you know. A lot of people have these certain phobias, you know, and then they trace back to a past life and the therapist works with them and they overcome their phobias. So, you know, maybe you drowned in a past life and you can't.
And I think that's a therapeutic thing. And that's there even if it didn't happen in a previous life, but if it happened early on in life, by you dealing with the trauma, you learn to move on.
Yeah. And I was on Facebook before, and I saw Lloyd Auerbach, who we know and respect, and he has a lot of insightful things to say. He was fielding a question from somebody, and the question was something like, if everybody reincarnates, how can mediums, you know, communicate? And that's a question that gets asked a lot, and a lot of people also ask, you know, how are they going to ever, they worry that their loved one's going to reincarnate and they'll never be able to communicate with them again. And, you know, he gave some insightful answers and some of the stuff we've discussed before, but, you know, a lot of people believe that we have our soul or our consciousness is made up of many, many parts. We may have many, many souls, and maybe, you know, one reincarnates and one doesn't. And he also pointed out that it's not linear the way we think. We think, okay, you die, you go to the afterlife, and then you come back to the physical, and we might be communicating what we think is at the same time, but it's not. You know, there's no time where they are. You know, they didn't reincarnate yet where they are. You know, so it's certainly possible. I mean, do you think, on that topic of soul, I always think, I mean, I believe that we all have a higher self, that it's sort of part of our consciousness that's not subject to all the attachments to the physical, and maybe we strive to become that higher self. But, you know, getting back to that soul contract, I keep thinking if there is such a thing, then that's who we're making the contract with. It's not some deity or some panel or some judge. It's like who it's supposed meant to be.
I mean, if you want to get even more confusing, again, yeah, back to Seth when and other readings, there aren't different. We're all one. That's the thing. We're all part of this one energy of the universe. And so when you talk about, you know, being different or that, really we're not, you know. So
from the same spark.
Same spark.
And that's the higher self, I think.
Well, that is the higher self. It's the understanding.
Connected.
I mean, I'm reading this book by Michael Singer, The Untethered Soul, and the focus of that book is exactly what you say, is to step back from the physical, because that's not you. What is you is behind the physical, watching it. And why people like Eckhart Tolle talk about you got to live in the moment is that because that's really all you've got, and it's you're observing what life has to show you at that particular moment. And I mean, this particular book advises you in how when the moment is something horrible that you don't want to experience, that the way around that or the way out of it is just to step back, to let it go, because that's not you. That's just the physical that you're in. The you is part of this great energy and is not affected. I mean, really, if you look at it, there's nothing that can happen on this planet that can do anything to your soul other than it grow it in such a way.
Yeah.
And I do want to address, because I think it's fair to reiterate after how many years of doing the gathering, what the gathering really is. You know, the Signs of Life radio is on every week, and 2 weeks out of the month, Bob does a great interview with scientists, physicists, doctors, PhDs who have studied and done research on this, and they are all accredited and somewhat authorities. We, as a gathering, are basically laymen coming together and seeing, well, what does it mean to us, the common person? I mean, we're just like you out there in the radio. We're questioning, and we're taking in what we've read and what we hear, and we're trying to make sense of it. And I think, you know, and the purpose of this radio show is that, you know, we're not going to be pontificating to you. We're not going to be using jargon, the scientific jargon that, you know, nobody understands. We are, again, just like you, we're just trying to make sense of it all, and we're throwing ideas out there, the four of us, in a gathering situation. And I should also say, it's not just the four of us. Anybody can call in and become part of the discussion. And, you know, you don't have to be a doctor if you have a take on this. We certainly would love to hear it.
We would.
You know, one of the things that always bothered me, as I tried to reason it out in my mind, you know, is that, okay, so the concept is we come back here, you know, to learn these lessons or whatever you want to call them, but yet we don't have any memory of our past lives once we incarnate. So at first it seemed to me like, well, it's a cruel joke. You know, we're here to grow and to learn and to evolve, but yet we can't remember what we did wrong in the first place. You know, so I mean, I was looking. Edgar Cayce wrote something, and I pulled it out. And, you know, he said we have lived and died many times. The reason we don't remember our former lives is because our vast soul memories are not transferred to our baby brains at birth. All we know in this life is what we have learned, most of which is partial memory of things we learned in past lifetimes. At the beginning of each lifetime, we are cleared of all past prejudices, learning blocks, and wrong teachings, and are ready for a fresh start. Just like a new term in school, and like school, when we have learned enough of life's lessons, we graduate and don't have to come back to this earth anymore, except as volunteers to teach stragglers. That was, you know, from Edgar Cayce. So I mean, from him, you know, he's saying some of the things we've been talking about, but that there is a point, which is a question I posed before, that where there is no more need, you know, to come back. So, and he, I guess, agrees that our memories are erased. But some people...
But he didn't say completely erased.
No, he said,
If you're coming here with a clean slate, the assumption is that because we have evolved into a culture that is very egocentric, we don't get it anymore. But if we were the culture that was around 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, when we were coming back, when we were taking that reincarnating trip and coming back into the physical, we knew a lot about our own soul, who we really are, and that was part of who we were. Are you following me? It's like Tom was explaining before. We're told now in modern literature, in order to experience ourselves, we have to take a step back and be away from. But back then, you didn't have to take the step back. You knew that you were a soul that has incarnated. So now you're facing challenges here in the physical world that you contracted or didn't contract for, but came here to evolve further spiritually, and you can do it better. You could have done it better then than we can now, because many of the people on this earth do not recognize that they are a soul here in the physical. They think that they're a physical person that happens to have a soul.
Yeah. It made me think before when you were talking, Tom, about, you know, that the game, you know, and also, which I thought was interesting, you know, that you were both on the other side, and so I'll come back, and you end up, you know, meeting, you know, and like two points trying to find each other. And I remember in one of the accounts of past life memories in children, I think it's in Tucker's newest book, there was a case he was investigating where a person was killed in an accident and then was just hanging around the neighborhood where he was. It was very soon after the accident. It was hours, an hour time, and saw a pregnant woman, and just said and made the choice that he's going to be her child.
Wow.
You know, and this was not after spending, you know, eons in the spirit realm. This was right after, you know, his physical death. So
well, right after in our time. You got to remember.
Yeah, in our time.
And this was what you were trying to explain before, which I think Bruce Grayson did beautifully for us at our conference in San Francisco a few years ago, was that we try and put our concept of time into what goes on outside of this physical world, and we can't. So if you say he immediately reincarnated, well, that's just in our time. While his soul was on the other side, there was no time. He was there for however long he needed to be there, and then he's back.
Yeah. Well, you know, also his research shows that, you know I always thought, not knowing anything, you know, that in our time, vast amounts of times went by before you reincarnated. I don't know why. I always thought maybe it was...
Because that's the way it is in the physical
world. Decades, you know, but
right.
The average was like 15 months, you know, between one life and another, which I thought was interesting, you know. So what about... I mean, we can't finish this topic without discussing karma. So where does karma play into all this?
Can I read to you what was printed in the 1960 World Book Encyclopedia?
Wow.
First of all, I looked up reincarnation, and it said, see, transmigration of the soul. So they didn't even have anything under reincarnation in World Book.
Hmm.
And I'll just read these couple of paragraphs. According to World Book, transmigration of the soul is the belief that after death, the soul goes into the bodies of lower animals or the bodies of other human beings. This belief prevailed among many primitive peoples and in ancient Greece and Egypt. The Greeks believed in transmigration or re-embodiment of the soul after a period of retribution in Hades. This idea appears in some poets and philosophers, and Plato set forth a well-developed doctrine of immortality and rebirth of the soul. According to this belief, the soul passes from one body to another until it is purified. It then returns to the dwelling place of its God. Buddhists call this place nirvana, or eternal peace. Brahmanic Hindus say that the soul joins Brahma, the universal power. The return of the soul to Brahma comes from the idea of karma. This is the belief that what a person does decides his destiny. If he lives like an animal, he will return to the earth in the body of an animal. If he has lived a fairly good life, he will be reborn or reincarnated as a human being, rich or poor, beautiful or ugly, high or low in the social scale. His character in his last life determines what he will be in his next.
Yeah, it's in keeping with Casey, because Casey wrote, the conditions in our current life is the result of our free actions and choices from past lives. So we are what we were. You know, so is that the explanation for all these miserable SOBs yeah. that we see? Is that they were, you know, they came
I don't know. You know, when this what I read, and it says going into the body of an animal, it almost sounds like someone who didn't leave. Lead such a good life comes back as an animal, but we know so many pets that people.
I know. It sounds to me that if you live the best life, you'd come back as a cat.
Yeah. My cat.
But this. First of all, this is 50 years old,
yeah.
And second, they're quoting what went on in ancient Greece.
Yes. Yes.
So in ancient Greece, they did not treat their animals nicely.
Uh-huh.
Only the Egyptians treated their cats nicely. That was the only thing, because they felt that they were gods.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only thing. But I do think that we do need a second break.
Okay. We're going to go to a break, and we will continue with these thoughts on reincarnation. Stay with us.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering, I forgot where we were for a minute, on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about reincarnation. So that's I guess this is a chicken and the egg question, but like, what's the starting point in this cycle? Is it the physical life? Is it the spiritual realm, or are we somewhere in the middle?
The spark.
So it's neither.
Well, it has no beginning, has no end. I mean, the eternal doesn't have a beginning.
Right. And as you mentioned before, Tom, it's a mistake to maybe think of the physical as the, you know, beginning, because it's a respite sometimes from the other world. So sometimes it's the middle. Maybe.
Yeah.
I doubt it's the end.
I doubt it's the end. There are a lot of people here that swear there's nothing more, but... There's been too much evidence
And when I read, I've been reading a lot of people's experiences, and repeatedly, those who have glimpsed the other side say, it's more real than real. And
I hear that a lot.
I know, and I can't wrap my mind, you know, I just can't even imagine how cool that is.
Yeah, people that have NDEs and people that have battle bodies and you know, or the deathbed visions, and that's, you hear that so often. It's,
mm-hmm.
I think you're crazy for, you know, why don't you understand that? I'm fascinated with this. I don't know why I'm on this jag of trying to think of, when I review the mediumship readings, you know. Sometimes I wonder if mediums are picking up evidence, you know, not from directly from the discarnate that they're connecting with, but from the discarnate's other souls, or you know, how do you? And I understand the point that the goal of the discarnate is to give the medium information by which the sitter will recognize them.
Yeah.
But there has to be some mix of information. We are this conglomerate of people. So maybe a lot of information that doesn't fits, but there's no way of us knowing. You know?
Maybe that's what makes it so difficult for them to communicate. Because they have to, it's like they have all this information when they're back in the soul realm that they have to find the one that belonged to their last incarnation in order to communicate, to link to that person.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or maybe there's other dimensions where their other incarnations have crossed over as well, and they have to communicate with them too.
Right. So we hear the medium say all the time, especially when they're doing these group readings, that, oh my, you know, I'm getting bombarded, you know, by spirit people lining up. Mm-hmm. Well, just imagine what the discarnate is going through.
Yeah.
He's got souls from here to eternity, you know.
It must be so complex, too, because if we do believe in the reincarnation and repeated ones, I'm personally just thinking about a person's actions, what they do. But it's the whole belief system. I mean, they might be of different faiths. Would they only go back into the body if someone who has a similar faith because that's so broad too.
Yeah. I shouldn't put words in your mouth. I mean, do you think that reincarnation is some sort of reward and punishment mechanism? You know, or do you think that it's just part of evolution, you know, spiritual evolution?
I don't think that there's reward and punishment. I think that there's this soul, internal soul drive to want to constantly make yourself better or more enlightened or closer to the creator or whatever it is that brings you up on that hierarchy of light. I think it's just, it's within you that that's just something you do. Just the same way ants know to walk towards the food when it's a mile away. You know, they know. It's just something that you do. It's part of our nature.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it makes sense, the reward and punishment, because of some of the lives that people get put back into. But then it doesn't make sense on that when you get to the other side, the spirit is all about love and forgiveness, and that there really isn't a punitive side from what I've been told. Maybe I'm wrong on that, and that's certainly something to find out. But
yeah, well, because there are a lot of in the traditional religious concepts, you know, there's that reward of, you know, a heaven and hell type of a thing. So then people say, okay, well, if there's reincarnation, then it has to be the same thing. You know, if you break the rules, you're going to come back in a negative life, and if you show compassion and love, you'll come back.
There might be something to that. Again, back to Testimony of Light, this person who was led such a dastardly life that he's put into a dark room and has to be tended to, whereas others are greeted and, oh, yes, now you can go and join your like-minded soul. So if you want to call it punishment, yeah, it certainly sounds like punishment.
But I don't think she described it that way. I think she described it as that was all he was deserving. Nobody put him in that room. He didn't have the enlightenment
to go anywhere else.
So they have this, you're going from this very ultra bright light, which must be the creator, is the way Frances Banks described it, all the way down to what she called the shadows. And he was in the shadows because he couldn't bring his soul into this enlightened stage so badly, and he must have tried this many times, that he needed an assigned person from the hierarchy of the light to come down and to assist him and to give him an inkling of what it's like to be in the light. And I think they used that painting palette as the example, where she showed him on his painting palette, she put some white paint, and that was the first time he saw something that wasn't dark. You know, it's like light and dark play a big role in this soul journey, and I think it's something that we see even in the names of churches. A lot of churches are called the Church of the Light, the light of this and the light of that. You know, mediums always sign off in light and love.
Love
so
and
light
love.
Is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
The absence of darkness.
Right.
Time to wrap it up.
Okay, then we're going to ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Christina DiDonato, Barbara Petillo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Maron, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joel Ormond, Philip McGee, Tracy Lee Nash, Rita Dwyer, Gina Dina Donato, Tom Donahue, Patty Potter, Michael Tim, Lynn Austin, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, Mary Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Jeanette Davies, Rachel S., Kimberly Saavedra, Johnny Jackson, Henry Stark, Ann Hutchinson, David Mello, and Leanne Ashley. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.